just ask for your prayers again for a moment. If you pray that I say what the Lord wants me to say, and I'll pray that you hear what the Lord wants you to hear. And let's ask for Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We have beautiful readings to finish a retreat. One of the themes that comes through very clearly in the readings is this theme of beginning again. Begin again. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says, I'm doing something new. He says, remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. And he then gives us these striking images. Actually, before and after that line, that line is a kind of peak, building up to it with beautiful images and coming down from it with beautiful images. He says, in the desert, I make a way. In the wasteland, rivers. Do you feel like you are in a desert? Or that you were in a desert when you came to this retreat, or a wasteland, a dry and weary land without water? God makes a way. It's amazing. Probably all of us have had that experience more or less at some time in our lives where it was like, there's no way out of this. I'm in this impossible situation. Things are terrible and they can't possibly get better. And suddenly something opens up, a way opens up, and we find our way out of it. Sometimes we don't take the opportunity to acknowledge that, just, oh, well, I guess that was supposed to happen, and just move on, right? We can become a little bit ungrateful about that. But the Lord is able to do that, no matter where we are in our lives. It's one of the pressures I used to put on myself, sitting in that confessional for hours on these retreats and feeling like I needed to find answers to your situations, because many of you have situations. Now, several years later, some of your situations have resolved, and some of you have been kind enough to tell me about that. But we don't need to find answers for all of those things. Sometimes we grasp at those answers before the time is ripe to learn to be in the desert with the Lord, and He makes a way. In the wasteland, He brings forth a river. It's an impossible thing. How does a river get into a wasteland? And yet, there it is in these situations in our lives. Something just breaks open. I remember speaking of mothers in the last conference, I have a directee, and it was just, he was in a place that he had a counselor who had advised him, and I just reaffirmed that you know, that there was such a complicated relationship between the mother and the son. He's a grown man with his own family, but she just like had all of her fingers in the right places and would just play him like a piano when she wanted to. And the counselor said, you know, you have to separate. You have to get some distance. You can't keep playing into these things. And he was kind of, you know, is that really Christian? Are we supposed to do that? And I said to him, well, yeah, I mean, as long as she's doing that, letting her manipulate you is not good for her either. I mean, it's a Christian thing to create boundaries. Boundaries have a value. And then I just said this little caveat. I said, now, it would be a different story if she came back to you really sincere, understanding what her situation was and really, you know, going through a conversion. And if you, in retaliation, closed her out at that point, you know, to get revenge or something, obviously that would be an issue. Well, wouldn't you know it? I mean, he said, well, yeah, that'll never happen. She's never done that before, and she'll never do that in the future. Well, like 3 months later, she comes to him like that. Who would have known? I mean, it was like a river in the wasteland. Amazing, you know, and he in a good way, I mean, trust is something that has to be built. You know, and so especially in situations where there are really broken and badly broken relational dynamics and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, we don't want to be naive about any of that. But if she was willing to extend herself humbly, he detected the sincerity, he was willing to be open. And haven't they started to build up a relationship? Now, she's still herself and he's still himself. And, you know, it's not exactly paradise, but there's a river that emerged in the wasteland that nobody could have predicted. Yeah. But that's the thing that encourages us never to lose hope in people, never to lose hope in ourselves. I'm doing something new. God said that through Isaiah thousands of years ago, but he says it again today in this Mass. Look, I'm doing something new. I can bring forth a river in the wasteland and make a way in the desert. In our second reading, St. Paul says, one of my favorite lines in Scripture, really. He says, just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. There's something freeing about that. We can be so held back by the chains of the past. We go forward now. Keep going forward. Strain forward. There's something better coming. God has made you to be saints. That is to say, he has promised that he will do everything he possibly can to make you holy. And when I say holy, that's not the plastic burden of holiness on prayer cards. That's the radiant glory of fulfillment, of becoming fully who you were made to be, and more than you ever dreamed you could be, in him, in Christ. That's the confirmation to the heart of Christ that also brings with it the fullness of joy, because holiness is happiness and the fulfillment of our humanity. And God is committed to you. He's committed to holiness in your life. He's doing something new, and he gives you permission to strain forward to that. And we need those moments where we just turn away from all that stuff in the past and just look forward, strain forward. God is doing something beautiful. And I really see that. I got this insight from Pope Francis, and I just love it, with this woman caught in adultery. We sometimes twist around that final line to her, go and sin no more, as being a kind of, you know, I don't know, protecting his moral integrity or something like that. He let her off the hook, but only this once. You know, that's really the mercy of our Savior, isn't it? When he tells her to go and sin no more, he actually speaks a word into her heart that gives her hope. It's actually possible for her. I have people that despair this way in confession. I had someone ask me point blank in confession, Father, why do I pray in the act of contrition and avoid all, that I will sin no more and avoid all occasions of sin? That's not true. I said, isn't it what you want? Don't you believe it's possible? Can't God do that? To settle for saying, well, I'm just going to keep falling into sin, is to put a ceiling on the journey that God is leading us on. Now, sure, we're certainly going to be tempted. We certainly have a lot of weaknesses, and we certainly fall in many ways. We don't necessarily give our will to that. Sin requires a consent of the will. And we confess in an overly conservative way, usually. We end up confessing weaknesses as well as sins. But God does extend the grace to us to sin no more. Again, we might fall into some weakness. We might accidentally hurt someone. We might say something that we regret. Some things emerge from us. It's amazing displays of pride and vanity. And anyway, we have those things. But the point is, God does give us the grace. When we go forth from confession, he says, go and sin no more to us, just like the adulterous woman, because it's possible. We should take that as a word of hope. And that's where forgiveness is not just a legal absolution, wiping out the effects of sin, but what we receive in the confessional and what we receive from the heart of the Lord is not just some legal document or some legal decree that our sins aren't going to be held against us, but it's actually the grace of transformation that's buoyed up by hope, that's moving us forward to something better than we imagined. That's how the Lord believes in us. And I just want to finish now with some words from St. Elizabeth of the Trinity. I found the words I was looking for last night. They fit better into this homily anyway, so apparently the Lord had a plan. She says, recognizing the transformation that he wants, that he is actively carrying out in us, the transformation. She says, he will fill me with himself. He will bury me with him. He will make me live again with him by his life. To me, life is Christ, quoting St. Paul. To live is Christ, rather. For me, to live is Christ, quoting St. Paul. He will fill me with himself. He will bury me with him. He will make me live again with him by his life. And if we take that back to the situation of the adulterous woman, what has Jesus done with her? He's actually taken her sin on himself on the cross, and he's taken her sin to the tomb with him so that he can also bring her forth from the tomb with him in the resurrection. That's how deeply involved God gets with our worst moments, with our greatest failures, with our ugliest sins. He gets right into it. He's left alone with her and her sin. And in a real way, he takes her sin onto himself, even at that moment. And he sets her free from it, and he gives her hope, communicates that hope to her. She's not just doomed to keep falling into sin over and over again. She is destined to be a new creation, full of life, full of holiness, full of love. So St. Elizabeth says, this is the line I was looking for last night, if I fall at every moment, she's not afraid. If I fall at every moment, in a holy, confident faith, I will be helped up by him. She knows that Jesus will be there at every moment. There's never a time that he washes his hands of her and walks away. He's there at every moment. And his hand is outstretched. I will be helped up by him. I know that he will forgive me, that he will cancel out everything with a jealous care. And even more, he will despoil me. He will free me from all my miseries, from everything that is an obstacle to the divine action. He will lead away all my powers, making them his captives, triumphing over them in himself. Then I will have wholly passed into him and can say, I no longer live. My master lives in me. And I will be holy, pure, without reproach in the Father's eyes. She knows that his love will triumph in her soul. His love will conquer all of her miseries, everything that is an obstacle to the divine action. His love will conquer her. And if it takes falling at every moment and getting up again and again and again and again, she's not afraid of that. She's ready to do whatever it takes to totally depend on him, trust in him, and to let him really be the center of her life. And then she quotes from St. Paul, saying that all things are restored in Christ. Instaurare omnia in Christo. Again, it is St. Paul who instructs me. St. Paul has just immersed himself in the great counsel of God and who tells me that he has resolved in himself to restore all things in Christ. So as we come to the end of our retreat, we're invited to remember it's a new beginning. Something new has happened this weekend in your life. Trust in that. Place your hope in that. Build on that. He brings forth rivers in the desert. Don't be afraid of whatever you're going home to. Something new is there. It's a new reality now because you're different. You're changed. You've received his grace in a new way. Forget what lies behind. Strain forward to what lies ahead. Go and sin no more. Have hope. Trust in God. His action in you, his initiative towards you, his love for you is much greater than any failure or limitation or anything you've done or haven't done, anything in the past, anything that's held you back before. His love is greater. And he goes forth with us now to restore all things in Christ. Your whole life, he gathers it up and makes it one, simple, beautiful, holy, without reproach in his sight, just like Our Lady, holy and immaculate, transparent, luminous. That's what he's doing in you.